needed the most. Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
What is going on here? I demand an explanation.
We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
An intelligence organization that fears intelligence historically, not awesome.
The United States is a democratic nation. Here the people rule. We build no walls to keep them in, nor organize any system of police to keep them mute.
Freedom isn't free at all, but it comes with the highest of costs.
We have you, the listeners, and the hosts at
Revolution Radio.
For allowing us to bring you a platform of free speech.
There.
Missile warning, this is Beale. Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high. Roger, we've got 32 targets in track and 10 impacting points. I want to confirm, is this an exercise? Roger, copy. This is not an exercise.
Roger, understand. Major Reinhardt, we have a massive attack against the U.S. at this time. ICBMs. Numerous ICBMs. Roger, understand. Over 300 missiles inbound now.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the broken down, low rent, sleazy,
double greasy pirate radio Nut Hut studios, it's time for the very first ever Southern...
It's Friday night. My name's Jimmy. You rolled the dice. You took a chance. You found it. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Into the microcosm. It's on the app. Bruce McDonald's here. Rockin' Rio's here. I know you're all wondering where in the world is the Epic Journeyman. The sun. Friday night around here.
Friday.
On the West Coast. The best coast.
West Coast.
Hey man, if you're going down, you know, as long as you look good when you, doesn't matter what you do, as long as you look good while you're doing it in America.
That's right.
Land of the free, home of the slave. That's right. Land of the free, home of the slave, America. Come on down, get yourself a piece of that American dream.
Scratch right up.
Step right up.
On the way.
Stick out your eyeball. Let me get a scan on it.
Left to say. I never met a salesman like you before.
Come on down. Experience the American dream while all the Americans leave America for Portugal or wherever the hell they're going. Rock and Rio.
Think I got one more mile left to go.
Are you there?
I am here.
Wow. It's been a lot of shows, a lot of minutes, a lot of hours. You know the average human being works 2,000 hours a year?
Yep.
Time job. Sometimes, yep. As the weeks go by, enough people listen to this show on YouTube, it equals up to a year full time. 2,000 hours, man. Jesus. Well, I don't know. I do know this. We may have a special guest joining us. I reached out. I'm not sure if he's still up and about. He's on the East Coast. But Rock and Rio, come on, man. What the hell's going on the East Coast? Wait a minute. Let's get... Hey, Bruce, you got to just have to come in cold, man. Because I didn't get your intro. Here. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce McDonald from Talamanca Mountains in Costa Rica. Here he is, Bruce McDonald. There you go.
Hey, y'all.
What's happening?
How y'all doing?
Doing good. Hold on. The marriage of the coyote women. All them witches. Hey, Sogal. It's good to see you. Go ahead, Rock and Reel. What the hell's going on over there on the East Coast now? Infestations? I mean,
We have infestations. We have situations. I mean, it's New York is devolving rapidly into the low class third world society.
So Alex Jones was ahead of the curve when he got himself Mad Max World or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, this is Snake Plissken type stuff, man.
Well, are all the elites driving around in bulletproof limousines, bulletproof bombproof limousines, while the sweat toilet?
They don't like our governor, Miss Kathy. There, she won't even come down to this end of the state. She's ruling from up north, but has not visited the city yet.
Well,
has not been anywhere near it.
That feeds my controversy, man. It feeds and fuels my controversy.
Now, you know, Mayor Adams too, right? The mayor of New York. He was all into, we're a sanctuary city. Send us everything, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's like, please stop, please stop. We have no more room. And they're putting these people up in churches. They're putting these people up in schools. They actually are offering to pay people to take them into their homes.
No, I saw that, I don't know. Maybe they just assume your identity and come in there and all of a sudden, hey, come on in, Bob. You can stay here. Here, sleep right here on the cot. And then you go to sleep, and the next thing you know, you wake up. The dude's choking you to death as he's stealing your ID and your Social Security card.
All right, well, let's put it this way. The nicest places in Manhattan, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, now looked like the worst places in the deepest part of the hood
from the
70s.
Seriously.
You know what's really funny?
Yeah, there's trash all over the place. There's people sleeping in the streets. I mean, New York City has always had a homeless issue as it is. They're not taking care of New York homeless people. They're taking care of, South American homeless people. Those people get to go in the hotel and stay and get free food and shelter and whatever. But, the poor New Yorkers get nothing. Actually, New Yorkers are being displaced to take care of the migrants. So, it is actually, Martin. Yes, it is. Becoming Gotham, that it is even radio hosts on ABC radio, talk radio here in New York have been talking about it being Gotham City. So, it's definitely devolved.
Well, I don't know, man. San Francisco is literally a ghost town. And I'm telling you, when I say ghost town, I mean Market Street was the number one retail center. Just off of there was Embarcadero Center, and it was like nonstop people with plastic just going in there and buying shit, and walking around with bags with these special names on them, and they were everywhere. They were going up and down in cable cars, and they were just spending all this money. It was like money was just going out of. There was so much money floating around, and all of a sudden. Well, they say it's because they got robbed or they got stolen from or whatever, but I think there's a big, big, big situation going on with any kind of storefront situation, square footages and any kind of major high traffic areas that cost all this money, because the days of people walking around and shopping are over. People want to save money, and how they're doing it, it's coming next day, and sometimes even in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has literally destroyed the retail was left. So it's not just the fact that there was, wholesale stealing going on up to $900. Nobody calls the cops. I mean, come on, man. You say that. Go ahead and put that on the news. You know what I mean?
And
one thing, if it happens and you don't do anything about it, but the minute they start talking about it on the news, I mean, come on, man, who's not going to go down to Nordstrom with a black plastic bag and steal $900 worth of shit?
Oh yeah, they do. They break a window. They walk. They don't even like run into the store and like flash mob it kind of thing. They just walk in, they fill up a shopping cart, even at like Walmart or wherever, and then just walk out the front door, and like nobody stops them.
When you say they, though, you mean the thieves or the robbers? You're not trying to infer.
Yeah, yeah, the thieves or the robbers, like the hood rats, the gang members, whoever's doing it. Like these guys, they just blatantly they'll walk into a store, they'll put on a $500 leather jacket and just walk right out the front door. Nobody says nothing to them. The cops won't do anything about it. Nobody stops them.
Yeah.
It's like, just go shopping and take whatever you want. And you know, there's no legal recourse, because if you do that, then you're a Nazi and you're being oppressive and whatever.
This just
and the cops are afraid of it, because there's gangs of like 12, 13, 14 year old thugs running around with guns. I saw a video that came out in New York a couple days ago. These kids were in a school gymnasium, and the one kid opened up his jacket and he goes, "Yeah, I got like 20 pipes up in here, man." This is a 14 year old kid with like a jacket full of guns in a school. And like he's flashing like the one on his hip at the guy, like at the gym teacher or whoever the school person was.
Yeah.
And all he said was, "Put that away."
Ignore
the situation.
Like, put that thing away, you little.
So glad they got that.
Before I, you look at what I'm. He goes, the teacher's all, "You got 20 pipes, homie?" He goes, "Well, check this out. I'm gonna lay some pipe right now, cause I got 40 pipe right here. See?"
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. Like, they don't do anything about it, and we keep hearing about gun control. Well, how did a 14-year-old kid get 20 guns to get in his jacket? I mean, he didn't apply for those permits. They're not legal, right?
Well, they're trying to do all kinds of. They got whole new things coming out with the ATF. I don't want to delve down in that hole right now, but I did want to say that did you see with this legislation in California with electric cars and trucks? Yeah, so you know when you bought that Ford Lightning, $100,000 truck? Yeah, it has the ability to use it as a generator in the event of an emergency. You can take your truck and plug it on in and, watch TV or whatever you're going to do. Well, it turns out that wasn't really the benefit of the Ford Lightning. What they have now in California is you have to have dual direction charging, so that if you charge up your electric vehicle and you got battery power, and the power goes brown in California, they're going to suck the energy right out of your car.
Yeah. See, and they market it to you too as, you can take it to your off-road camping spot up in the mountains, and you can plug your laptop in and your TV in, and you can power all your devices off your car battery, right? That's the upsell of it.
Yeah, whatever.
But they're using you as a storage unit, man.
So everybody's wondering where Epic Journeyman is. He's going to try to call us tonight. I got a report from the Journeyman, and so here's what's going on. The fire, it burned a lot of the telephone lines and power lines and stuff, so there's no internet and there's no landline type phone. Cell phone service is out, obviously, because the cell phone's got to get its signal from somewhere. And guess what?
Yeah, if the tower burns up and the comm lines burn up and the fiber optics are burned up.
That's what I'm saying. The fiber optics got burned up, didn't they? That's right. So see, I don't know. I remember when the Puerto Rican hurricane happened, and I'm not talking about Billy Ray Valentine. The Puerto Rican hurricane where everything was destroyed and the power was out, and I got a picture of all these people that are standing there with their arms up in the air trying to get as high as they can with their cell phone to see if they can just catch a bar. Well, Epic Journeyman thinks he may be able to go to the up country in Maui, where there's less people and no capacity issues, because whatever cell phone service is happening And, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, maybe years ago, so not recent enough to make a difference to anybody. But, so listen, when an emergency happens and the first thing everybody does is jump on their cell phone, you know, the network can't handle it. And it, what happens is everything just basically doesn't happen. No calls, no nothing. Until people get off the phone, until the traffic clears and it goes back to normal. And even then, depending on what happened, nothing might happen. I mean, it could take days for all the cell phone carriers. They have something called a cow, and it basically looks like a trailer, you know, and it's a cell site, and it, you know, you can pull it behind a truck, and they'll have to ship over some cows from a different island and get some cows in there, and they'll get some service going. But until they get the cows and they get the internet back, I mean, the cable comes up out of the ocean clearly, right? So it comes in, comes somewhere.
They, and you know what CAO stands for, right?
Cellular.
It's cellular on wheels. It's like hell on wheels from the...
Yeah. From the, exactly. Well, hey, man, those things are powerful. You definitely don't want a CAO next to your house. Speaking
cell
of CAO,
on wheels, man.
Speaking of cows next to your house, you know, last year I was working for a company, and I don't think I talked about it on the air at the time, because I was under an agreement or whatever, but I'm not under an agreement anymore. So I just wanted to, since we're talking about this CAO, and it's going to tie into what we're about to talk about in a second. But so I was working for this company, and they had won this particular project to go up into Davis, where the college is, and go up there and paint a bunch of these cell tower antennas, to paint them, because they want to paint them so they look just like the rest of wherever they're at. So if they're on a telephone pole, they want to paint it brown. You know, if they're on a light pole, they want to paint it white, whatever. So anyways, I go up there. They send me up there to go look at this job, take pictures, and go to each location or whatever. So I get up there, and all of a sudden, I'm in these residential neighborhoods, okay, just regular mom-and-pop style, you know, homes, people, you know, families living there, kids. And it's these light poles, these lighting standards, that don't even, I'm not saying they're trying to hide it, because it's clear there's something there at the top of the light pole. It's a big fat antenna. You know what I mean? It's there. But the thing is if you're in the neighborhood, it just looks like a street pole to you, really. I mean, you're not going to really, unless you're looking for something, it just looks normal. But the point is that when I got there, I was like, well, so you want me to paint that? Well, how am I supposed to paint it? You want me to spray paint it? Well, do you think the spray paint's going to float down on people's cars and shit? No, you can't spray paint it. So how do you think you can paint it? The only one way to do it, with a roller standing in front of it on the top of a 40-foot articulated boom with a roller going. So I told him, you know, I don't think you should do the job. They said they were going to do it anyway. And I said, well, listen, I'm just telling you right now, I don't want to, I'm not getting up there, and I'm not sitting in front of that shit when it's hot. And the lady who's the head of the company, I was on the phone with her. She's all, well, really? And I said, yeah, I'm not going to work in front of that while it's on. She goes, well, I can understand your concern. I said, well, you know what? I'm even more concerned with the fact that, it's dangerous RF, and I don't notice any red stickers at eye level for all the people walking their dogs in the neighborhood, letting them know that there's a high-powered cell tower on top of that lamp pole right above their house. Yeah, well, I'm not working there anymore. They all of a sudden, they lost the contract, and old Jimmy was out the door. So see what happens when you say something? You know, you say something, you're out the door, Jack. Nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's pretty common with a lot of jobs, man. They just want you to shut up and do what you're told, right?
Right.
And don't pay attention to what's actually wrong with anything, or that there's a problem with something, or something might be, you know, a little illegal or a little bit, you know, against code or whatever. Just roll with it, Jimmy. You're getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we all been rolling with it, and I was looking at some earlier today. We're not going to get into it tonight, but obviously, there's something out there already that's called 10G. Right?
What you talking about, Jimmy?
I'm talking about 10 gigabits per second, man. 10G.
10 gigahertz.
At 10 gigahertz. 10 gigabits per second, too. So anyway, I watched a video earlier today of a company hooking it up, and so they got 9.8 gig, and they said the other 2% was overhead. Or the guy was complaining though; he was a customer. This was actually a hookup where I was watching this hookup. But the point is that this 5G that everybody's been worried about, and you know, like we were probably the only voice in the wilderness that was saying it, because everybody else went completely berserk about cell phone traffic and 5G. And I think we were probably the only ones out here saying, no, the 5G they're talking about isn't your fifth generation cell stuff. But that does have an effect, Rock and Rio.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it?
The difference between 5 gigahertz wireless and 5G cellular, they both have separate issues and separate problems.
Right. So
the 5G cellular, the problem is it's high frequency, and it's a neural disruptor, and can affect your brain waves, and it can affect your DNA and your biology in weird ways. It can give you cancer, that kind
you
of thing.
You got it specifically, though.
But the 5G wireless is a whole different ball of wax.
All right, hang on a second. Let's break this out. So listen, one of the things that everybody needs to understand, if you categorize 5G as all cell phone traffic, it's not the same. So if you're going to say that 5G does a specific thing to a specific organ, you'd have to say that you would be determining exactly what frequency it is that does that to the organ. And unless you know specifically what the frequencies are for the cell carriers, Rhea. So they're all high power, high frequency. Tell everybody, what we were talking about earlier, which is they're all high power, high frequency.
Right. So depending on what company you're with, whether it's, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, or whoever, the frequency ranges vary from anywhere from 18 gigahertz to 60 gigahertz. For 5G. So yeah, that makes a huge difference in the speeds. You know, like AT&T always claims to be the fastest. It's because they're on higher frequency bands. But the downside to the higher frequency bands is shorter transmission range. So they have to up the power. So if you're close to a high frequency tower and at a high power limit, you're actually in more danger than being a farther distance from a lower power farther carrying signal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a whole lot of nuances to the whole situation.
Well, what we were trying to point out too, and in that vein, because there's many different frequencies out there on the spectrum. So the spectrum is wide, and isn't it real cell phone signals?
Yeah,
so everybody's on 5G, which is fifth generation antennas or transmission equipment, right? But
right, and that's most of that is just basically a higher frequency version of the 4G LTE system.
Right.
It's pretty much the same. It's just a, shorter antennas and higher power.
But they're
short range power
transmitting on different frequencies. So to put that into context, it's like Bruce is singing a song, Rio's singing a song, and I'm singing a song. And we're all singing it at different tones. And so but if you flip this around and turn the 5G into your wireless router, 5G, 5 gigahertz router, then all of a sudden things start to come into focus. That's what the 5G means. So everyone's house is about 100 feet away from each other. So
mm-hmm.
And these routers are super high power with this 5 gigahertz, and they're blasting shit right through your wall. So that Joe Blow with his internet telephone, he can make voice over IP calls using the internet. Go ahead, Bruce. You're about to say something?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but when you build an earthbag house, you put two coursings of barbed wire between each row, and the rows are about 6 inches thick. And then all the way through, you put rebar. So I basically live in a Faraday cage. Like, nice. For example, I'm in the back house now, and I got to have up in the windowsill, I have to have an internet booster because my modem, which is only 10 meters away, won't come through these walls.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, my personal suggestion to you, Bruce, is to do what I've done. I do have a wireless router here that I occasionally turn on when I need to download an update for my phone or something to that effect. But every computer or electronic in my house is on hardwire. And the Wi-Fi router stays off.
So I make
effort to keep the cell phone at the other end of the house or the other end of the room. I don't ever sit with it like 2 feet away from me.
The guy over
we got to
actually start using it, you know.
So Matt,
go
ahead.
I'm going to bump up to Starlink as soon. It's supposed to be here now, like third quarter in Costa Rica. It's all in Panama already. El Salvador's got it. Like, I don't know how you speed this up, but I mean, the government of Costa Rica is notoriously incompetent, right? So, but it'll be here any day. And then I'm just like, I'm off to the races, you know? So, by the way, man, I've put like 10 grand into my place in the last like 3-4 months. I got the whole, I redid, like I'm in the back so much now because I'm redoing the front house. I took out all the interior walls. I'm going open concept. And then I did a drop down wood ceiling. And I mean, the most beautiful wood you've ever seen. It's all cut and planed by my brother-in-law from where I live in the rainforest here. And I'm putting a new roof on the back place here. It's been 7 years, right? That's the only thing you have to really do with earth bag houses is change the roof every so often. But I don't know what the hell I'm talking about or why I'm distracting everybody with this stuff. But
I was wondering,
opening up if there's tourism.
So listen,
I don't want to take Matt, away from the dilapidating so U.S. situation there.
So Matt in the chat room is talking about suspicious observers saying people are going crazy because their brains are getting fried by the sun. We were saying that a year ago, dude. And let me just say that's what the top hats are all about. That's why those dudes are wearing top hats back in the 1800s. Rock and Rio. Listen. Bruce, listen to this.
Of course it goes further. Of course it goes further. So in this one, they said, can they understand the inner monologue, the things you're saying to yourself in your own mind? Mind you, by the way, when you dream, your visual cortex runs in reverse, so your dreams are no longer safe. But we'll try this. So they had people watch a video and just narrate what was going on in the video in their mind. So the woman...
Okay, so I'm going to set this up here now. So someone is watching a video, and while they're watching the video, they've been told to narrate what they see in their mind quietly. They're not moving their lips. They're not doing anything. They're thinking out what they're seeing. What happens is absolutely amazing.
She gets hit in the back, she falls over. This is what the computer reconstructed the person thinking. See a girl, looks just like me.
So the AI now has been listening to her thoughts and puts out a text of exactly what she narrated in her own head quietly.
Get hit in the back, and then she is knocked off. So our thoughts, like, are starting to be decoded. Yeah. Just think about what this means for authoritarian states, for instance. Or if you want to generate images that maximally activate your pleasure sensor, anything else. Okay, but let's keep going, right? To really get the sense of the combinatorics of this. How about, can we go from Wi-Fi radio signals, you know, sort of like the Wi-Fi routers in your house, they're bouncing off radio signals that work sort of like sonar. Can you go from that to where human beings are, to images? So what they did is they had, a camera looking at a space with people in it. That's sort of like coming in from one eye. The other eye is the radio signals, so sonar from the Wi-Fi router. And they just learned to predict, like, this is where the human beings are. Then they took away the camera. So all the AI had was the language of radio signals bouncing around a room. And this is what they're able to reconstruct. real-time 3D pose estimation, right? So suddenly AI has turned every Wi-Fi router into a camera that can work in the dark, specially tuned for tracking living beings.
Literally, the images, the imagery that the AI came up with looked exactly like the people in the positions that they were in. So Rio and Bruce, your Wi-Fi router is now a sonar for your the general vicinity. I guess that's good for the hitmen who have the headsets or whatever.
I mean, we talked about this, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I think.
I know.
About the potential of it. And, you know.
And here it is.
Here it is. Now they have the AI tuned to do it. You know, so that little innocuous Wi-Fi router you got sitting up on the wall there, Bruce, to boost your internet signal over to your laptop. If somebody really wanted to hack it good, they could read the signal off it and know that you're sitting in your chair right now looking at your microphone.
Wow. It's time to go Viet Cong, man. Dig some tunnels.
I'm telling you, man. Hard wires are the way, man. It's
all you need is a little bit of rice and some rat meat, and you'll be good. So we got some other stuff we're gonna bring up a little bit later, because I found this guy and he's literally I'm literally shocked at his credentials, because I didn't find him because of his professional life. We found him because of another video that he had put out, and it's almost like the video itself stands alone. But then when you hear what the man has to say. Okay, and then you hear
could
about
do worse.
It's good, man. But listen, we're gonna check back in with the secret. Who's behind the door tonight? We haven't broken it out yet, because, like I said, I pinged, but I had no response. Now Evan Journeyman may call in, so be ready for that. It could happen at any moment. If you can pick the moment that he calls in, you win.
Speaking of calling in, Jimmy, should I give the number out?
Not quite yet. Rock and Rio. So,
yeah.
You did delve in. Like, we've been serious with the politics and the reverse speech for a while. And, you know, you ventured kind of out of the realm of the norm.
I did,
For this Friday night. And then I brought some gasoline to that fire with that individual that I was just talking about, and you actually having to find some stuff in reverse from the person. So I think it's gonna, all in all, I think it'll be a really titillating second hour. Now I have to warn you, though, there will be language that some may find offensive, and it's not necessarily the opinion of Into the Microcosm or Revolution.Radio, who's fully listener-supported. Come on down, become a supporter. Revolution.Radio, become a patron. There's many ways to support, and please do, because, you know, without a platform, you know, the air goes silent, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll be coming back with some of that material that we're talking about, but and I'm gonna throw it over to you, Rock and Rio and Bruce, while I check in with our secret guest and see if he is going to join us or not. Rock and Rio.
Well,
Bruce, go ahead,
Bruce.
Okay, so I just want to briefly touch on something that I found like absolutely fascinating this week. Mm-hmm. Has to do with a country that's fairly close to me. Has to do with a topic that's everywhere these days, and that is aliens. Has to do with a remote Peruvian village and 7-foot aliens abducting people. And they're called in the local dialect, which is Spanish, but I don't understand how they came up with this expression. They're called the face peelers. And this is like national news in Peru. Like the tribe has asked the Navy to come in and help them. And yeah. I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's a few good clips out there. Rio, have you heard anything about this?
No, I haven't. This is fascinating. Do continue.
Oh, it's quite fascinating. It's quite fascinating. So they actually have some video. And apparently in this part of the rainforest, it's always a rainforest, too, if you guys have noticed, in Peru, it's a hotbed for paranormal activity. Peru has always been a really weird place for paranormal activity.
Right. Well,
I don't know why that is.
Mysterious architecture in Peru, too, right? So,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So you got some aliens coming in there and allegedly abducting. They took a 15-year-old girl. They got her back, I think. But it's like, it's just wild. Like the stuff that's popping into the news cycle now is, it's like so Hollywood. It's like,
you say 7-foot aliens, huh?
7-foot gray aliens, and they have red discs on their feet and they can hover off the ground. That's the story the natives are telling, the villagers. Yeah, and so I find that very interesting. Now, let me ask you straight up, Rio. Mm-hmm. Do you think New York was better under Trump or Biden?
Oh, no question. It was definitely better under Trump.
Biden. Yeah, I don't know why our cohorts on this show are so down on the Trumpster, man. I mean, I don't know how you could look at America now and not wish that guy was back in office.
Well, I mean, the other problem with New York, though, is the governorship of the state and the mayor of New York. Right. So, you know, you say what you want about Giuliani now, but he was a very good mayor and he was well loved by the people. And he had the city running pretty straight. He had the crime rates way down. He had, you know, the economy rolling. He had people wanting to move in, you know, and then. I mean, even what's his name? The billionaire guy. He wasn't terrible.
Bloomberg,
yes. He wasn't terrible, you know, but and he didn't do too much damage. But I mean, the last two mayors, I mean, especially now Adams is a complete idiot. Right. And he backtracks on everything. He double talks on everything. He doesn't know what to do. That's his biggest problem is he doesn't know what to do. And he opened, like, the whole migrant situation. He opened his mouth and got into trouble. So, I mean, yeah, it was better under Trump, but it was, you know, even better back when Obama was around. It's weird as that sounds to say. But that's because the mayor was, you know, the mayor of New York City was actually running it properly, you know, not letting it just go to hell like it is right now. So, yeah, I mean... Biden's policies have definitely done a lot of damage, and the city mayor has, you know, made it worse.
So, what's it like if like anything happens? Like I know nothing's happened to you, but by 6 degrees of separation, you must know some local stories. Like somebody's trying to break into your house, you dial 911. Do the cops actually show up in 5 minutes or less? Or like what's it like living in New York now?
Well, it depends on where you are. Like where I am is fairly rural. It might take 15 minutes for the cops to show up anyway, you know, just because they're across town and there's not a whole lot of them. But from what I understand in New York and the surrounding areas, you know, Jersey City and Hoboken and places like that, unless there's, you know, somebody bleeding out on the street, you know, the cops will get an ambulance over there to pick him up and take him to the hospital. But they're not going to chase down the guy that shot him.
Man, look.
Wow.
Listen, they show up when it's over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not going to stop the crime. They'll just, no. You know, clean up the mess.
Neither do cameras. Cameras don't stop the crime either. And maybe they'll do something in the end. But, I mean, someone has to care. You know what I mean? There has to be a case. And what's a case now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you shoot someone in broad daylight and, you know, the guy dies in the hospital, you know, the cops will, you know, review the videotape footage and maybe arrest you for murder. But they're not going on a foot chase to get you, like, while you're still wielding that gun. They'll sneak up on you with a warrant and arrest you. But, they're not actively fighting crime in the streets. Because
No, they're fighting for their lives.
Because the thugs will shoot them first.
That's what I mean. They're fighting for their lives 8 hours a day. It's like they show up and they're like, they're glad they made it home that day.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're sitting there thinking to themselves, what the fuck am I doing this for, man? You know, it's like, I don't care about this guy's store. I don't care about Macy's or whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to go run in there, you know, and do anything. You know what I mean? At what point do the people start getting like that? Like, have people gotten to a point where they wouldn't even go? I mean, if you're thinking there's a mentality like that floating around, what's it like in the military?
Well, I mean, here's a prime example, Jimmy, right?
What happens if your mind is poisoned on the internet against your country, and all of a sudden you don't feel so patriotic about going and fighting some foreign wars over in Poland or whatever? Go ahead.
So here's a prime example of how things have changed. It used to be like, if you saw somebody pulled over on the side of the road, whether it's flat tire or just, you know, went off the road and clipped a tree with their car or something, you'd pull over and see if they were all right. You know, if you were the guy with the cell phone, you'd maybe call an ambulance or call the police for him or something. Because not everybody back in the day had phones or, you know, the ability. Or you'd flag somebody down for help, right? So here's a perfect example. About 2 weeks ago, I was run off the road and put into the guardrail. And the guy behind me hit me, is actually the one who put me into the guardrail. So the guy who caused the accident kept going. The guy who hit me was a hit and run. And my car is now smashed up on the guardrail. Not a single person stopped to see if I was okay.
No.
But I did see people with their cell phones up taking pictures of me on the side of the road. As I was standing there, I got out of the car and I was leaning up against the guardrail. I was watching people filming me on the side of the road, but yeah, Nobody stopped to see if I was all right. You know, this is the state of what we're in now. I mean,
it's America,
man. You know, film the tragedy, but don't help the guy.
Land of the free, home of the slave. Right? Well, you know,
so, I mean,
TikTok real quick. Look at this sucker.
It's the condition everywhere. So you see a guy get shot in the street, you take a picture of it so you can post it to Instagram, but you don't call 911 before the guy bleeds out, right? I mean, who cares?
Well,
that's the problem. That's one of the like biggest problems with society. Everybody's been programmed to look at the situation but not help the situation, and nobody wants to get involved. You know, they want the 5 minutes of fame on the internet, but they don't want to get involved at helping somebody who could, you know, they could actually save their life. Now, I mean, you know, in other situations like what's going on in Hawaii, obviously there's frontline workers and people going in there and trying to help people because that's a big disaster. But if there's, you know, like a little personal thing, I mean, even look at the situation on the subway in New York, right? I mean, guys running around threatening to kill people, punching people in the face. And there's 50 people sitting around watching him do it and not stopping it. You know, there was a story not too long ago. A girl got raped on the subway in broad daylight with 50 people standing around. Not a single person stepped in to stop it. Like, but the people were filming it.
Well, I mean,
you know, like, wrong with people? Man?
Yeah, well, I'd have to say what's wrong with people should start at the very beginning of it, which is, what would ever possess someone in their right mind to go and get on public transit underground on a train where you can't get out if something happens? Well, I mean, what would possess you to put yourself in that type of, I mean, and to me, that's not a streetwise situation. You're not very streetwise if you're down there, because guess who's down there? All the people that want to take your shit and beat you up, cut your throat and throw you in front of the train.
Well, this is kind of what I was talking about before with the, you know, the situation of the mayorship of New York, right? Back when, you know, Giuliani and Bloomberg were the mayors, and it was all right to ride the subway. I mean, it wasn't the greatest experience, but
Bloomberg,
you know,
Bloomberg used to ride the subway every day.
Yeah.
Literally. And that dude, what's his nuts, caught him on the train one time to interview him. That's how he got his claim to fame. Lou Gradowski. That dude, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Gradowski. He trapped Bloomberg on the train. It's probably, the video's probably still there. That's how he got his street cred, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've ridden the subway in New York. It wasn't really a big deal. But
yeah,
now
it wasn't a
know,
big
people
deal.
Are scared for their lives to go down there now. And you know, some of the people, some people just don't have any other way to get across the city to get to work. You know, that's their only choice.
Yeah, well, guess what? They got to figure it out, man.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna happen. You need to live in a 15-minute city. You need to go somewhere where you can walk to work because you can't take your life. Well, you can't walk to work either, can you? Because
no.
Let me just ask you a question. Once all the people that have shit have left, and you've stolen all the shit from the people that are around you, the only thing left is to steal shit from each other. You know what I mean? Or venture out somewhere beyond the city to rove as angry hordes across the land like locusts,
mm-hmm.
looking for every bit of whatever. I mean, I don't know, man. It's not the same world. Well, at least, I mean, it looks like, you know, like I said, to me, it looks like everybody's gone. I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody left. They're all gone. They're underground. The sun is going haywire. There's radiation coming down. They don't even know how to. They can't even measure it at this point. It's radiation they've never even seen or experienced before.
Yeah, I saw something about that whole thing, like with the UV index being like, you know, six times what it was a few years ago. I mean,
listen,
you know, it's dangerous. It's like it's 75 degrees out. And you know, that used to be a nice, warm, sunny day. You'd go out in the garden, hang out, and you know, you could be outside all day. You might get a little suntan maybe, but you know, nothing big. Now you go out for like a half an hour and you feel like you're burning up, dude.
The only people left are CGI and body doubles playing roles. That's why shit's so out of control. Everybody's gone, man.
I wonder how many of these, you know,
that's why they ramped up
speeches and you know, things are green screened from underground.
That's what I'm saying. They ramped up production of these electric cars because they need a whole bunch of cars for them underground cities. You can't drive around with gasoline cars down there.
Well, yeah. I mean, and Elon's got that covered, right? He's got the Boring Company, which is building the underground tunnels and roadways to ride the electric cars on. And he's got the electric cars to ride them.
Literally.
It's going to be the new way, man.
There is a virtual collapse right now in commercial real estate. Where did all those people go, man? Where are they? I'm not saying they're underground, but I'm saying where did they go? Well, I'm just saying the people in New York who used to fill up all those commercial buildings, they used to pay their rent and buy groceries and shit like that, but they're not there anymore. Where are they? How are they buying groceries? Well, Do you know that the United States credit card debt dropped $1 trillion for the first time?
Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know what there's an impending sign of doom is that BlackRock has just bailed out of the United States economy.
I know. Good. Explain a little bit about that. Now they've completely divested from the American stock exchange.
Uh-huh. I mean, obviously they still own lots of properties and lots of housing and some of the other stuff that they've bought up.
Mm-hmm.
But they've removed their investments because, you know, anything that could be potentially cost them money, you know, like stocks or, you know, futures markets or whatever, they're out. They dumped everything.
The war in Ukraine didn't get rid of the evidence. The war in Ukraine didn't keep people's attention long enough. So maybe now it's on the table to distract you from what's actually going on with the charges being laid against Biden. And maybe now's the time to pull the plug on it. Send it down to the bottom. That's probably mm-hmm. what I'm saying. And then we'll just come in there and scoop it up. Buy it at pennies on the dollar, Bruce. I saw another thing that happened.
So where did they put their money? Like it has to go somewhere. So they took it out of New York. Where did they put it?
Well, Trump.
I guess back into their banking reserve or wherever.
They're defaulting on this on all these commercial properties. The people mm-hmm. that owe the money to the banks, they're defaulting on that.
Yeah. So
this week they reduced the credit rating of the United States, and they also took 10 banks and reduced their credit rating. So you can see there's going to be a serious consolidation to the point that the only thing that's left standing that can still give you your money back is going to be CBDCs. There are going to be no other questions about how you're going to get the rest of your money. The only way you're going to get your money is because the only money is going to be left are the new CBDCs, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's going to be under the world banking system.
Mm-hmm.
Not under the national banking system.
Let me see your eyeball, boy.
That's right. Yeah, did you see them orbs, man? They look creepy.
They are creepy as hell, man. It's the eye of Horus, bro.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? It's the all-seeing eye.
Yeah.
But they don't
get your retina scan going, man.
Hey, you can get a free beer down at the ballpark if they let them scan your retina.
Yeah, I know. They're giving away stuff here too.
Burger King too. I think you can get a free burger.
Yeah, you get a free Whopper.
Well,
with your eyeball scan.
Yeah, it's a beef product with black lines spray painted on it, and then they microwave it and spray it with some shit that makes it smell like mesquite.
Well, you know the funny part is, right? They're doing all these giveaways, but they did the same thing a couple of years ago when they were trying to get people to receive something. They were giving free stuff away, you know.
Yeah. I saw a thing here earlier. I don't have it on me. I'll get it for the next hour. Oh, shit, man. We're almost out of time. Listen, Revolution Radio, fully listener-supported. Revolution.radio. Come on down. Come on down and sign up. Become a patron. Free speech, 48 hours a day, 2 studios.
Separate your heart from your mind. The only way to deal with these stress in these times. You're walking down a lonely road. You never know what the future holds. Are you feeling it's the right time? Rivers flow through the night like ancient scrolls. When the time's right, let me know. Yeah. Are you feeling it's the right time? Rivers flow through the night like ancient scrolls. When the time's right, let me know. Some say smile, cause it ain't that bad. Another pill, the doctor said. Remember those feelings that you felt.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects, take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no! Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
It's Friday night. It's Revolution Radio. It's the Independent Broadcast Network. My name's Jimmy. We're number five on TalkStream. You'll find us here every Friday night, 9 o'clock Pacific on the West Coast, midnight on the East Coast, as we rattle on through the night. God damn it. Bruce is over in the Talamanca Mountains with a bowl of rice and a little bit of rat meat, digging a tunnel, trying to hide from the ultraviolet radiation that seems to be beaming down our weakened magnetic field. I don't know, man. I don't know, Rio, though. I don't think those top hats are sounding so crazy anymore. I'm going to go get me a top hat. Keep the, you know, get some protection there. Develop a safe zone above my head so I don't cook my brain and go insane like people are going insane, leaving you on the side of the road to die. I don't know, man. It's all too much. Rockin' Real is off somewhere with his mute button. So is Bruce. That's all right. It's okay. I'm still waiting patiently for the air.
I'm here, bro.
Yeah, hey, there's Bruce McDonald. He just finished his bowl of rat meat. And if somebody goes to Indochina, do you want a brother in a rice bowl ready to pop a cap in his ass? Yeah, I think Rock and Rio is lining up the reverse perverse circus. Now, I don't know if I should set this up.
Oh my God, we're doing that?
Well, it's an interesting slant on the reverse perverse circus tonight because it's not political. Now, there was an incident a couple of while back. I don't want to stipulate by put myself in a box. So I'll just say it's an incident happened a while back. Some people say it was a crazy moment on an airplane with a woman. And there's some antics. Speaking of antics, man, did you see that boat fight where these guys just went berserk and started just going wild, man, in this brawl from the dock? Did you see it? I heard about it, but I didn't see it. I was hoping somebody...
Oh, I did. That was a racial issue, yeah.
It was racial? What was it? Was it a racial fight, like black guys against white guys?
Some guys that were working on and captaining some kind of ferry boat. I forget what province, what state it was. Was it like Alabama or something?
Yeah,
but
something
it was
like
some
that.
River boat.
Yeah, some shithole.
Dude comes into dock, and the security guard comes out and says, you can't dock here. Now, the security guard is black, and the crew is white, and they don't listen to him. And then it just went from there. That was the whole thing.
Wasn't that...
Is there any closure on the crazy woman on the plane saying that guy isn't real? Like, some buzz on Twitter about that's been resolved or like we know what it was, but I never dug into. I don't have time to dig into stuff now. I just don't.
I know, me neither.
So Bruce, I wait till Friday night and then I ask you guys.
You don't even know, but that's actually what I had planned for the reverse speech tonight.
The crazy woman on the plane. There you go. Crazy woman on a plane. There's a song called Woman on a Train. It's actually a pretty good song. But Woman on a Train. What about the woman on the plane, Rock and Rio? So I didn't go into it.
So, yeah, she got the – they know who she is. They gave her – I'm not going to give her name, but, I mean, it's out there. Her name is out there, but now, you know, she's being stalked now. People are like – going through her mail and sitting outside her house and all this other stuff.
What did she say now? Did she say this guy was a lizard?
No. See, the whole lizard thing, I kind of dug into this because obviously it's made the rounds on the internet. I'm sure everybody's seen the video by now. She said, she apparently was having a conversation with some guy in a hoodie. And he wasn't talking, like he freaked her out. And so she came to this conclusion that he's not real. Like she had a complete like meltdown moment.
And she
wanted off the plane because she was afraid that this guy was some kind of alien or some kind of lizard man or whatever her thought was. Nobody really explained it. But she wanted off the plane in like the worst way. So they actually stopped the plane. They got her off. Then, because she was making such a scene about it, they had to deplane everybody.
Okay, so the thing is now, she, at one point, I think people started to say that she was inferring these were NPCs or non-playing characters. It was like some background situation. Which was it? Now, was it an alien? Was it a lizard?
Well, so the whole reptilian thing got started because there was another YouTuber, I forget his name off the top of my head. I can look it up. But he claimed that he was also on the plane, and so was Carrot Top, by the way. But he claimed Carrot Top, yeah, Carrot Top. Carrot Top said she lost her earbud and freaked out, but. This other YouTuber said that, you know, he saw the whole situation and talked about the guy with the hoodie and whatever. And he said that when they all got up to get off the plane, because they made everybody get off to redo the safety inspection on the plane, that the guy blinked at him. And that the guy blinked at him, his eye blinked sideways instead of up and down. So it freaked him out, too. So, you mean, you know, it's it's a teenage YouTuber. So, I mean, I think that guy's just looking for clicks, but that's what started the whole It's a Lizard thing. You know, it's a reptilian thing. That's where that came from.
Well, I don't know, man. All I know is that people are literally freaking out and going psycho in many ways and in many places.
Totally, Jimmy.
Totally. Well, I mean, this is an incident that made the rounds, right? But it's happening quite commonly. I mean, this is like every week we hear a story about somebody freaking out on a plane or freaking out in the airport or freaking out on the subway or wherever. But
let me ask,
people are losing their minds, man.
Are you ready for the reverse perverse circus?
We could do it. Yeah. I mean, there's a, I got a few things in here.
And we also have Mr. Pregnant coming up with a rant. A person of color is pissed. And we're going to play that video right after Rockin' Rio gets into the crazed, psychotic woman that went insane on a plane. Or maybe she wasn't crazy. Maybe she could see. They found one that could see. Rio came in with a blowtorch. He's chewing bubblegum. He came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. Well, he's all out of bubblegum. It's the moment you waited for. You've yearned. It's time to shout at the devil. It's Rockin' Rio's reverse perverse circus. Rockin' Rio, are you ready to shout at the devil?
Yeah.
All right, let it rip.
All right, so, Bruce, you haven't heard this audio of this woman?
I haven't heard this video? Audio either.
I
saw the original, yeah.
You saw the video?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I saw her do her thing. I mean, it's only like 90 seconds. That guy's not real, and if you want to die on this plane, then you stay. Yeah, I saw
it. All right, so I'll play the bleeped version for the forward. There's a lot of F-bombs in it, so... Yeah, here's the situation in the forward for anybody who hasn't heard it. Let's see. Oh, that's the wrong mouse. Hang on. Here we go.
And there's a reason why I'm getting the f*** off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two f***, but I am telling you right now, that mother f*** back there is not real.
Man,
and
I'm telling
you. Can sit on this plane and you can f*** die with them or not, I'm not going to.
And that woman has been watching videos on YouTube and listening to shows, man.
Yeah, huh?
And she got... Seriously. Because, let me just say, everything she's saying right there, if everybody that was listening to her was people in alternative media, they would believe what she's saying. But she's in a group of people that think she's crazy. So which is it? Is she crazy? Or does she seeing what she's seeing? I mean, is the alternative media got the eye to see the things that are really going on with the lizards? I don't know. Rockin' Rio, does she reveal herself?
Well, she doesn't, but she does. Like, it's interesting because, there's no really weirdness in her reverse speech, but it's very telling, right? Obviously it's a short clip, so there's not a whole lot here, but, it's interesting because like she starts off with, let me off right now. Then she says, that guy wants to rape me in the ass. And she says, you're clicking your nails. You know that sickens me. It says, boy, he runs. It's serious now. Bring us to the pad, which I'm assuming means, you know, get me off the plane, right? And then she says, don't push me, bro, in reverse. And now we're ready for the fall. And then the last thing she says, and it's a really low audio because it's kind of, you know, as she's walking away from the camera, she's like, people are listening now. So, I mean, there's all these statements in here, but I mean, it's interesting because they're pretty clear. Like, so, you know, even in her unhinged moment, like her subconscious is explaining what, you know, her emotional state. So I'll do these short and sweet.
All right.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating. All right. Because the thing is, like I'm saying, we did the shows. What was a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
We were playing interviews from they were interviews by a psychiatrist at mental hospital with specific people who had specific schizophrenic issues, and we drew a parallel to, like, what are they saying? Well, to everybody, it seems like what they're saying is crazy, but if you really listen to what they're saying, are they that crazy? I mean, maybe they are seeing what they're seeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way to really tell if you're not the one picking up those vibes or picking up those frequencies. Some people have the ability to pierce that, whatever it is, and have be able to see entities and whatnot. So
well, I mean, you know, so, I mean, I've witnessed some really weird supernatural things myself, and you know, you could believe that or not too. So maybe she is seeing lizard people, or maybe she's seeing an organic robotoid, or, you know, a clone that's just glitching out or something, you know. I mean,
she lost her earpiece and she was listening to a David Icke podcast. She was listening to a David Icke podcast. She lost her earbud and then went psycho, thought she saw a lizard over there. I don't know, man. Who knows? But go ahead, man. Let her rip, brother. I know you got the goods.
There you go. So, the only thing is her voice is so squeaky.
I'm not going to.
All right, so I'm not going to. And here she says, let me off right now.
Please, no. No, no. I'm not going to. Please, no. No, no.
Let me off right now.
Totally heard it.
Yeah. So here's the part about getting raped. He raped in the ass, right? So
I didn't hear it.
Fucking die with him or not!
She's gonna die with him or not is the forward, and here's the... Gonna rape you in the ass.
Oh, man, it's all too much, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Then the next part is where she says, clicking your nails, you know that sickens me.
So there's some tacky hoe sitting in the plane clicking her fake nails and she got pissed?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
Damn. It's
and
a world.
Next part here says, boy, he runs.
Boy, he runs.
He runs. And then it says, serious now, bring us to the pad.
Serious now, bring us to the pad.
She really wants to get off this plane, right? Let me off right now and bring us to the pad. So the next thing is she says is they'll free the mark.
They'll free the mark!
So maybe she did see a reptilian or a lizard or something, right?
Jesus.
Sweet Jesus.
The next one, she says, what if something, and I could not make out what the end of this was, but... The what if is very clear.
What if we less, man?
He says, what if we something at the end there. She kind of garbled it. The next one says, don't push me, bro.
Don't push me, bro.
She even says it like, you know, they spell it now with B-R-U-H. She's like, don't push me, bro. That one's good. I like that.
I don't give two fucks.
Don't push me, bruh.
Man.
Hey, you know, and then. The devil's madness, right? Devil of madness, she says. The devil will reveal him. And then she says, now we're ready for the fall.
Now we're ready for the fall!
And then the next little bit here is kind of at the end of this. This one's really low, so I'm going to boost this. You can kind of hear it. She says, now people are listening. There you go. That's the unhinged woman on the plane.
She's unhinged.
Yeah.
On a plane.
But she wanted off. She really wanted off. I mean, that's what I got out of it. She was really freaked about something. Like, she was legitimately freaked out. She wanted to get out of there. Yeah. You know? And
it's hard to blame her, you know, if you were sitting next to a reptile.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I do have the clip of Carrot Top and the clip of the guy who said he saw the whole incident. I mean, we could play that if you're interested in hearing their takes.
Like Organic Sharpton.
I'd have to download them to do it, but yeah, I mean, I could Organic Sharpton Carrot Top. But his thing is like 30 seconds. He's like, so we're sitting here on the plane because some lady lost her earbud. Like, that's all he said.
I know. That's about how funny he is, too. What was funny about Carrot Top in the first place? Do you know? Bruce is a comedian guy. Bruce is comedy from way back. I mean, if you want to know about comedy, you talk to Bruce McDonald. Bruce, what was so funny about Carrot Top?
Well, he became the joke in the end. But he's not that funny. He's got to, I'll give you a little green room insight here. He's got to be the most hated guy in comedy. Like, I don't know why, but other comedians just absolutely hate that guy. Everybody I've ever spoken to, right? He's the ultimate example of, like, no talent but got somewhere. You know, it's all shtick. It's all prop shtick. Shtick is, like, the worst.
Is it shtick like stupid white guy? I mean, what is a shtick?
Oh, it's even just play a clip. Just play a clip, man, and just go Carrot Top on YouTube and let people hear it for themselves.
I can't stand the sight of him, to be honest.
Yeah, I never found him funny. He was very crude, if I remember right.
Well, I'll tell you this, man.
He rolls with Pauly Shore in Vegas.
Well, I'll tell you this. I saw him on Joe Rogan, and I didn't watch Joe Rogan or listen to it. I just saw the tile of the Joe Rogan show with him on it, and he was wearing a wife beater, and he was all ripped, like he's been working out, taking some steroids.
Yeah.
So I mean,
he looks a whole lot different now than he did back in his comedy days.
Yeah, he's not too.
I mean, in his comedy days, he kind of went for the clown look, but now he looks like, I don't know, he's really beat up, kind of.
He
did not age well. Let's put it that way.
No, he's like, yeah. Anyways, listen. So we have this other situation here going on with this other character. Now, there's this character that we found on the internet over there on YouTube. He's got himself a video. He's got himself a channel. But his main thing, before we get into his rant, is he's a man of color. But he's not an American. And he's known as the Transcendental Ambassador. Alliston Fitzgerald Holder, the first research scientist, academic writer, artist, lecturer on linguistics, physics, music, and psychopathology. He's got a channel called the Glow TV Broadcasting Television Network. He's got himself a bunch of videos up there here, a sample of a title of one of these videos. Let me click on this one here. I just need to give you some background on the man, because he does get quite deep in his, I don't know, what would you call it, Rhea? He just doesn't appreciate.
He does not appreciate the
American
mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the American mindset of the, I guess how you'd explain this gently, the self-righteousness of the African Americans as opposed to people who are just, you know, black. That's where he draws the line. The people who call themselves African Americans and insist upon that, that's what offends him.
Okay, so but listen here, before we get into what offends him, this is what floats his boat right here. Here's a video. He's got 376 subscribers, so if you like a cut of his jib, go on over to the Glow TV Broadcast Television Network channel and subscribe. Now, here's a video. A cross-disciplinary, multidisciplinary, transdisciplinary analysis of pathology and psychopathology. Let's just take a listen to what he has to say, just for a moment, just for context. On Into the Microcosm, Revolution Radio, Independent.
We're looking at mental disorders from a physics perspective. Semantics is fascinating because semantics is where you explore all the ambiguity, this pathological compulsion, dramatic situational verbal tragic and Socratic irony. Disinhibition, grandiosity and pathological. Nihilism postulate that epistemological solipsism, which states that the unimpaired and uninitiated, non-linearly, electromagnetic radiation music is something called octave. This vibration creates a force. A three-dimensional perspective, neurological and the cognitive aspect.
So there he is. What do you guys think? Pretty intense, no?
Is that his music?
No, that's not his music. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I'd have to check, but no.
No, but did he choose the music for the video?
Yes, he chose the music. He also chose music for his next video too. And Rock and Rio, you actually, when you became aware of Mr. Pregnant, because that's his other alter channel. He's got another channel called Mr. Pregnant. And when you came in contact with the material from Mr. Pregnant over there, I'm not gonna say the title of it because it may even sound racist even to say the title of the video. But he is a man of color, isn't he? He's a black man, but he's not from America. So when you became aware of Mr. Pregnant, let me ask you a question, Rio. Did you? I know you took a look at him in reverse, didn't you?
Yeah, a brief one. I did find a couple things in there, but if you want to do it, we'll have to go organic.
Okay, well, I mean, you can work.
I do have the one clip that I played you, though.
That, I mean, well, to me, I was hearing congruence.
Yeah, and it totally fits. That whole section totally fits together with what he's saying forward.
Right. Okay, so listen, now I'm not, I just want to say, these are the views of Mr. Pregnant. Okay? And here, hang on a second. Let me give you his full name. Mr. Pregnant. Atleston Fitzgerald Holder I. These are the views of Atleston Fitzgerald Holder I, Mr. Pregnant, and not the views of Revolution.Radio or the Independent Broadcast Network, not the views of Into the Microcosm, but it's a conversation that for some reason has made its way onto the internet. Now, Mr. Pregnant, on the other hand, he has a little bit, few more subscribers than old the Glow TV Broadcasting Television Network over there. He's only got 300 and something subscribers, whatever it was. But over here on Mr. Pregnant, he's got himself 67.7 thousand subscribers. So apparently Mr. Pregnant's rant that we're going to play for you now, all right, we're going to play this. And please, if there's any language, it'd be time to get your children out of the room. And like I say, these are not the views of Revolution.Radio or Into the Microcosm. This is strictly the views of Mr. Pregnant, Atliston Fitzgerald Holder the First. Now, are you rocking real? Are you ready, Bruce? You ready?
Yeah, man, I'm ready.
All right.
Yeah, go for it.
The title of this video is "I Am White."
When we have the problem we have is black people don't like themselves. Black people don't like themselves. I don't like black people. You hear me? I will say it again. I do not like black people. Yes, you didn't hear me the first time. And you're wondering, did he really say that? Yes, I do not like black people, especially the so-called African Americans. I think all you African Americans disgust me. And African Americans, they don't like themselves. Have you ever noticed that? Huh? African Americans are always trying to live in a mixed neighborhood. Huh? They're always trying to live in the good neighborhood, which is mixed or all white. I don't see white people walking around saying, "Hey George, we have to live in a mixed neighborhood. Hey George, we have to live in an all-black neighborhood if we want to be considered socially inclined and middle class." No, white people try to live amongst themselves. White people try to live amongst white people. But African Americans try to live amongst white people. Why are you so-called African Americans? You filth, you scum of the earth. Why are you all always trying to live amongst white people? African Americans move in, white people move out. Wherever the white people go, you African Americans go. Why? White people are very comfortable in their community. I've never seen a white person move to a black neighborhood. White people don't move to African American neighborhoods. Oh, yes, they do. If they are on welfare.
Now, I don't know. I mean, some may say that, you know, these are stereotypical, I'm almost speechless. I'm almost shocked. And I've heard this "I am white" by Mr. Pregnant a couple of times now. So far, are you guys? I mean, none of us are of color, so I mean, obviously, it wouldn't sting as much for you as it might for someone of color. But I mean, I thought these were pretty powerful words coming from a black man.
I got a little bit of a Jufro going on here, Jimmy. Maybe I should speak to this topic.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that when Professor Griff got that book from Olajuwon Muhammad, this and that, and they were reading the book on the bus and they were looking at it, and then he got in an interview and some guy asked him something and he started to, you know, make the same kind of comments as Kanye West was making a little while back, and all of a sudden Kanye disappeared. You know, straight off the earth. I don't even know where he went. I think he ended up somewhere in some foreign country. Like he showed up on stage or something at some gig. I don't remember. But now, I mean, shall we continue with this rant from where is this guy from, Rio? Do you even know? I think he said he was from Kenya.
Yeah, somewhere.
I'm not sure exactly where the guy's from.
I'd have to look back at the other video again.
He's sporting some, I can't tell if they're real dreads or if that's a weave. I think the dude's got a weave going, and I'm not sure. I mean, maybe this is satirical for clicks, or, you know, maybe this is some sick joke or whatever. Rock and Rio, what do you think?
Well, the other thing I looked at with him, I think the guy's legit, man. I think he's really not. I think he's being honest here.
Well, he does go on for, we've only gotten about a minute and 43 seconds of his discussion here. Is when, I mean, he's laying it out on the line about how he feels. And, I don't know. I don't know. Do you want to continue? Shall we continue?
I think we should continue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good discussion to have, actually.
All right. Now you, and so you got this queued up too, because he does, like I say, he is congruent in reverse. You mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. So, okay, here we go with Atlasson Fitzgerald Holder the First, Mr. Pregnant, over on YouTube with I Am White.
I really don't like African Americans, these so-called cotton pickers. Whenever I have a conversation with an African American, they're always talking about black and white. I have never met an African American that just wanted to talk, that just wanted to talk about politics. You get into politics, well, I think George Bush, blah, 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 and black people. You talk about religion, well, I know God was black. You talk about sex, man, I had sex, man, and yo, I picked up this white girl. It's always about black and white with African Americans. I've been wondering for a long time why I don't like African Americans and why these so-called African Americans have such low IQ.
So let me ask you a question. When you see these videos on all across YouTube of people getting beat up by one color, a group of one people of one color, and another color is getting beat up. Is there any way to tell just by looking at the color of their skin if they're African Americans or not? In other words, there's lots of people coming over, immigration-wise from other nations that are of color, but they're not necessarily. In other words, if you're 12 years old growing up, you know, someplace in Africa, I mean, you know, everybody chops each other up with machetes over there. You know what I mean? It's, I mean, anybody just who looks just, you know, like a skinny little nothing could just chop your head off with a machete and keep on going. You know, so African Americans are different in a sense that their environment's different here. So, I mean, I don't know if this is nature or nurture, Bruce McDonald, but this guy, this African American, well, he's not an African American, this African, Mr. Pregnant, he said he wants to be white. He says, I am white. He feels like he is white because for whatever reason. Go ahead, Bruce. What were you going to say?
Yeah, you know, I often wonder, Jimmy, what it's like to be like a bona fide African immigrant to like Canada or the United States, right? And like I'll use my example of Toronto, okay? So you can't really say that there's a black crime problem in Toronto, but you could probably say there's a Jamaican crime problem. And I used to think like, well, it's so epidemic that the main jail in the West End of Toronto is called Maplehurst, and its nickname is Jamaicahurst, or the Jamaican Best Western. I'm not joking. That's what people call it, okay? And I often wondered what it must be like to be, you know, coming from Niger or Kenya and having a master's degree in chemical engineering or something and moving here with your family and assuming the black stigma. It must be just, like, horrible. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like going to a country that only has like white people of like the South Boston criminal character. And that's the only white imprint that country has. And you go there and suddenly, you know, you're that.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's what I mean.
So I've always felt that race was a bait issue to begin with. But yeah. Culture is something we should be talking about.
Exactly. You know what? And you know, the thing is, man, is that it's not about everybody, no matter what color you are, we're all struggling with the same exact issues. And the thing is the worst thing for the organized governments across the planet, the worst thing that could happen is that everybody would come together, you know, and say, well, we all have these things in common that we don't like, and let's get together and change those things, and we can settle our differences between us later, you know. But let's come together at least on these things that, you know, we find the similarities, not the differences, you know. But Mr. I Am White, Mr. Pregnant, Atlasson Fitzgerald Holder the First, he doesn't, I don't know, man. I'm still I'm not going to judge. You know, it's not mine to judge, ladies and gentlemen. But we provide, you decide, as Kev Baker used to say.
I came to the solution. You see that durag? You see that durag these stupid cotton pickles wear? It's the durag. It's the damn durag. These pig shit African Americans. That durag is tying their brain down. You ever see those?
Is he suggesting that the style that you see with these different gangs wearing these bandanas or quote unquote do-rags, is this African man drawing a similar or a parallel to still wearing the do-rag just like the slaves did?
Mm-hmm.
How did they get black people to start wearing the bandanas, you know? Is that what he's saying? I don't know what he's saying, man.
African Americans on the street, eh? 800 gold teeth, $5,000 platinum chain, bling, bling, bling. It's all about the bling, bling, Mr. African American. Remember, 50 Cent said that. Big baggy jeans, yeah, twisted cap, and they're walking down the street with all that bullshit Ebonics. Cannot even speak properly. They don't even speak English very well. And now they're trying to teach Ebonics in school. These filthy, dirty parasites of society. They are so parasites. These African Americans, they...
See, now, is this... See, the thing is, though, I mean, why is it okay for him to say all this stuff because he's black?
Well, it's obvious, yeah, it's because he's black.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not, right. The thing is that, see, this is confusing to white people. They don't understand because they say to themselves, well, why is it okay when one people say one thing and other people say it, and well, it's not okay for them to say it. You know, they don't understand because they're being promoted to, you know, through these TV shows and these different movies and rap videos and stuff. That, you know, things mean a certain thing and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's they just want to be a part of, and they try to speak in the language that they're taught through these rap videos, and all of a sudden, you know, they're getting beat down, you know, by 30 people or whatever, curb kicking, you know, kick it on the curb or whatever. I don't know. It's confusing. Like,
well, you know, I related a story to you earlier about this, Jimmy, but and I'll give the short version here. Is years ago when I was 16, you know, I used to work in a job, and the cook was, you know, an older black guy, and you know he was a career Army sergeant who had retired, and you know he was now working in the hospital where I was working. And we had this other guy who was also black, but he was a very flamboyant type and had a mouth and, you know, very disrespectful and whatever. And the older gentleman, you know,
saying he was gay.
Well, he was. But
not that there's anything wrong with that.
The older gentleman at one point, like, you know, because the younger one, you know, snapped his fingers and made a like sass move and then walked out the kitchen. So the older one, you know, called him the N-word. And I was kind of shocked, you know, because, you know, 30 years ago, that wasn't something that you saw. It wasn't like it's in the vernacular, you know, in every music video or TV like it is now. And I said, why would you say something like that? And he goes, well, the difference between them and us is, you know, black people have self-respect and respect other people. And the people that we call ends don't. And, you know, that's something that's stuck with me for a long time over the years, is that, well, you know, there is one contingency of black people who don't like the other contingency of black people because of the lack of respect and the behavior. All so right, seeing this guy doing, you know, kind of calling out the same thing, you know, relates back to something from, you know, 35 years ago.
Okay. Well, let's just say, Let's, I mean, 35 years ago, I mean, let's go back just a little bit further. Okay. So there used to be a black middle class neighborhood where people, you know, it was a mom and a dad and some kids, and they lived in a house, and the pop was working someplace or whatever, and there was these middle class family oriented black neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. But slowly, those people moved away, and then things seemed to change in these communities where the pops wasn't necessarily around as much, and so on and so forth. And there seemed to be a degradation in the family system, not only in the black community, but also across the board with the nuclear families. Bruce, go ahead. What were you going to say?
It is well known, though, that the breaking up the family thing, they did it first to the black people in the United States. That was the ethnic test case for their model. Well, and they did that on purpose, man. There used to be a very strong dude. They just screwed over black people. They went to work on them, man. They've been just really worked on. And you feel when you know the whole story, like you kind of like really feel for them, man, because they've just like every shitty experiment in the United States, it started with them. Now it ends up expanding to everybody, as Into the Microcosm has documented so well. But it often the test case where they perfect the process, it often starts in a minority, and very often in the United States that minority has been the black population, whether it be
the
Margaret
Tuskegee
Sanger
Airmen,
with sterilization.
Tuskegee.
Yeah.
Tuskegee,
no, they've
Airmen
been worked
is
on.
A perfect
man.
Example.
The
of
devil's
that.
Been working on them.
Mm-hmm. And also yeah. the Native Americans on the reservations. There's another place where heinous activity was going on. And so this dude, Mr. Pregnant, Atlasson Fitzgerald Holder, the first African, not African American. We're about 3 minutes into his 7-minute discussion, ladies and gentlemen. Here comes another couple minutes, and please, if there's something that we need to stop and try to dissect, you know, feel free to jump in and let us know, Bruce and Rock and Rhea.
A societal parasite. Don't you, have you ever listened to a nasty, filthy, pig-shit African-American? These scum of the earth, these dirty, filthy subhuman, these nasty, filthy black bitches. You ever heard them? Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo. They call each other nigger. African-Americans walk around and call each other nigger. These filthy pig shit. Yo, yo. This is how these African-Americans speak. Yo, yo, yo. Yo, ma. Yo, ma. Let me holler the bitch nigger. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, are these are stereotypical. I mean, this is, you know, like I say, if there's, this was anybody... you know, if he was wearing a white, if he was wearing a red hat, and he was a gun toting Christian, I mean, this guy would be in prison right by now, wouldn't he?
Hate crime, yeah, hate crime.
He'd be in prison now. No, there you go. Now let's ask that question: Is this type of dialogue? Is this a hate crime? I mean, in the future, will this be considered a hate crime? Or will he get away with it like Lisa Lampanelli used to get away with it? Remember Lisa Lampanelli?
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the dirtiest female comics that's ever walked the earth, and she got away with it a lot because you know why?
Because she dated a black guy.
Well, she said.
She said she did.
That's right. She said her boyfriend was black, and she would say a bunch of really almost kind of same stuff this dude's saying.
Well, I mean, yeah, but no, she was a little more...
No, I'm telling.
She was a little cruder than this guy.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right. And then all of a sudden, mysteriously, it's amazing. She used to be fat and ugly, but she was funny, so she had a career. All of a sudden,
so
she quit doing her old shtick, lost a bunch of weight, And now I think she's even been on The View. She's been completely transformed into something and someone completely, totally different than she was before. Go ahead, Bruce. Do you know who Lisa Lampanelli is?
I do not, actually. Maybe I'll take a look for her on YouTube after the show.
I'll see if I can dig up some Lisa Lampanelli, because it'll go right along with Mr. I Want to Be White, or I Am White, Mr. Pregnant, Atlas and Fitzgerald Holder the First on YouTube, 61,700 subscribers. His other channel has 300 subscribers, and he's talking about... We'll go back to it. Go ahead.
So the success of an ethnicity or a culture is dependent on its ability to cooperate. Can they form partnerships? Can they form ventures? This is why the Jews do so well. They do business together and they form partnerships and ventures and they cooperate. White people do to about 80%. And then I'll tell you, when you live in Central America, one of the first thing you notice, my son and I and the people who used to come over here and visit, we would talk. You can pick it up in about a week. These people do not cooperate. Like in Costa Rica, if you get 10 partners that want to start a business together, whatever the business is, and let's just say that the investment is $100, and they all put their $100 at the center of the table that they're sitting at, the first guy to go to the bathroom loses $100, and everybody goes home like the other 9 investors go home like $11 richer. They can't cooperate, man. They can't cooperate, right? And I've asked intelligent Costa Ricans. I have friends who have like multiple graduate degrees, and I just because it's not an offensive question. They know. I said, "What's going on here?" And they say it has to go, but it goes all the way back to what the Spanish did. There's a whole story down here. I haven't dug into it, but
isn't there like a whole caste system over there, a pecking order, like that dudes from El Salvador?
Huge, dude.
I mean,
Costa Ricans are the royalty of Central America. Okay, now they are physically the most beautiful Central Americans. They're very, very attractive people. Okay, maybe the most attractive Latin Americans in the world. Okay, like they're you can see women over here. It's like Madrid or Barcelona level sexy. Like a woman with money in Madrid or Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you go to Nicaragua, dude. Everybody fell out of the top of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. And Panama is like on the sexy scale. They're somewhere around Papua New Guinea pygmies. Well, and there's nothing
I got some good news.
Very, very unattractive people.
Our guest will be joining us. Who's behind the door, ladies and gentlemen? Top of the hour. Secret guest will be joining us. And
it's so,
my man. It is definitely so. Who's behind the door? We'll find out in about another 10 minutes or so. My name's Jimmy. It's in the microcosm. We're talking a little bit about some of this this discussion that's going on over on Mr. Pregnant's channel. He says, "I am white," ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you that this conversation really feels like it's racist to me. But, I mean, what is racism now? Is racism hatred for other races, or is it noticing that there's other races and then categorizing people in a way that describes that? In other words, is there anything wrong with recognizing races, or is there a stereotype associated with the recognition of the race that causes it to be racist?
I think that's where that line comes in, right? That there's good people and intelligent people and bad people and ignorant people, no matter what, whether you're black, white, green, whoever, right? So there's within each, societal class, there's an upper echelon and a lower echelon, right? So he's called, and it, like I said, this is going back that there's a divide amongst themselves. Like, I mean, white people do it too. I mean, we have elitists and white trash, you know, so it's no different than a black gentleman and someone who would call the N-word.
How do you tell the difference between an elitist white, if you had two white dudes sitting there and they're both wearing hoodies, they're both wearing jeans and tennis shoes, how do you tell which one of those white guys is the elitist?
Well, that's
it's the same thing as the black people. Same thing as the black people, Jimmy. If they're bitching about the other races all the time, that it's just low class shit. It's like white people who have no education. They want the wages of 1968 to come back. The car factories were there, and they blame it on Mexicans and blacks. It's just pure ignorance, lack of discipline, failure to get an education, failure. You know, it's the same mentality.
Like I said. You know, my buddy Bob told me, you know, it's a lack of self-respect that separates them. It's a lack of self-respect and respect for other people.
I'm trying to point something out, man, because the thing is if there's no difference between my shade of white and Bruce's. And there's no difference between me and you, Rio. Our shade of white is all the same. So no difference when a person of color is looking at white people. They're looking at them in a way that however they've been treated by specific white people is how white people appear to them. And all white people are that way because there's no way to tell the difference between one white guy and another, is there? I mean, there is, but I'm just saying the color of your skin when you're white, you can't tell the difference if one guy's on welfare and the other guy's he's rich.
You can. I mean, does that guy, you know, live in a trailer and wear a wife beater and have, you know, rotten teeth and you know, a Bud Light in his hand. Or you know, does the guy get up and get in his BMW and go to work every day?
Well, maybe he gets
up. You can tell the difference between, you know, the trailer trash, as it were, and a well-educated businessman. It's the same kind of class structure, right? And that's what it really is. It's a class structure, you know, among the black people. It's the same behavior. You can address ghetto and attitude, if you're of color,
you got no way of knowing which white guy is which. And everybody gets thrown in the same pot.
In some respects, you have no way of knowing which black guy is which either.
Exactly. And that's why to judge a person
based on their color, that doesn't make it.
Because like I was saying earlier, when you see crime happening and the people are of color that are committing that crime, there's no way to tell if those people are American black people or black people from another country.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter because all black people then get put into the category of those people, those thugs, those young thugs or whatever. You see what I mean? So everybody gets painted with the same brush. So like, if only thing you've ever learned or known about white people is that they were slave owners, this and that, slaves, this, you know, racist, that, then that's what you think. I mean, we played the video last week of the black lady that was saying that it was common knowledge around her and her friends that if you hung an American flag out in front of your house, it meant you were a white racist. Well, so unbeknownst to anybody, you know, they were just minding their own business, happy about 4th of July, putting a flag out, and they weren't racist whatsoever, but they got painted with that brush. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Here comes Mr. I Am White, Mr. Pregnant Atlas and Fitzgerald Holder the First.
Smoke my crack at my mother, my crib, nigga. Yo, word, these pig shits. They make me sick. I hate African Americans. I know when you see me, you see a colored man. You looking at me right now and you see a colored man. I may be colored on the outside, but deep down in my heart and soul, I'm white. I'm very white. I am a sellout. I am a Uncle Tom. I am what you call an Oreo cookie.
I'm the real deal, African-Americans. You see me right now? You better be afraid of me. I'm your biggest enemy because I do not like you African-Americans, you so-called cotton pickers. Guess what? I'm light-skinned. I'm a light-skinned Negro. 100 years ago, while your nasty cotton picking ass was out in the field picking corn and planting rice, I was in the master's house. I was chilling in the master's house, polishing his shoes. Yeah, because I'm an Uncle Tom. I'm a sellout. I'm a straight-up Oreo cookie. I don't like you African-Americans. I do not. Never did and never will. You don't you see? Don't you see? Whenever you see an African-American woman with an African-American man with a white woman, that means the white woman is a trash. She's low class. Let's be realistic, folks.